Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm not going to bother with the theme tune. We're just going to crack on.
Oh, right. Where's that?
Oh, fine. I'll do the theme tune.
Yeah. Be a professional.
Hello, Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Podcast about rugby doesn't take itself all the game too seriously. There we go. Yeah, because we've full disclosure, we've just hit stop on one podcast and we're starting this one because we've done the international stuff.
Done.
And this is all about domestic rugby. Did you play this weekend, JB?
Did I play? Yes, we played Southport. So, another 5-pointer in the bag.
Yes.
Bloody difficult team. Didn't get our fourth try till basically injury time, last play of the game. So that was very important. We're still 1 point behind the LSH in the table, despite beating them last week or the week before.
How did they get on? 5-point win?
They didn't get a 5-point win.
Oh.
So we're 1 point behind them. Warrington next week, who I think are going to be seriously handy. And we're missing a lot of players. But it won't be an issue. We've got huge amounts of talent throughout the squad. So,
and you're missing this week?
I am. I'm playing for the Mako Sharks in Dubai.
Oh.
Meeting some listeners out there as well for a few beers.
And playing against...
Jonathan, I won't travel east. Beardmore is going to Dubai.
He's going to Dubai.
What a horrible hypocrite.
I won't go to Eastern Europe. That's what I mean. I'm definitely never going to Eastern Europe ever again. I'm not going to the cold east. Let's put it that way.
The warm east.
Yeah. I'm so okay. Up for Tbilisi.
I fancy Tbilisi as well. Feel
free to go.
if me and Phil booked Tbilisi, you'd be there.
I might go. I don't know. I'd think about it. Sure. I'd strongly consider it, but I probably wouldn't.
We can beer press you into going there.
Yeah, it looks like we're going to be playing a team for the Mako Sharks, which are veterans 10s, which will include playing against Marcel Garvey, Kerry Sweeney, Matt Gilbert. It's going to be a lot harder.
James Hook,
yeah. It sounds like it's going to be a lot harder than I initially thought. And, of course, Marcel Garvey lives in Lyon now, doesn't he? So he's bringing some French mates along.
Mm.
Can't wait to see which, Chabal or somebody. It's going to be great.
Awesome.
Fabian Palou's filling me in. It's going to be superb.
Oh,
fun.
I'll take some pics.
I will do. I will do.
Yeah, brilliant.
Where were you this weekend? Where did you stop off for... For a coffee?
Well, so I drove back to Manchester from Twickenham via Marlow.
Wow.
Dropped a friend off in Marlow, stopped for a bit of cake and a coffee, and then head on my way back to Manchester.
You weren't tempted to drop in and see the boys, no?
Well, the boys had already played earlier that day, hadn't they?
How did they get on?
I don't know. JB's going to tell me how Marlow got on. I was watching England.
I think they won again.
Good on my boys. What on Marlow?
Marlow.
I tell you who did win. Aylesbury, despite doing their best to throw it away, they beat Beaconsfield by, I think, 18-12.
Oh, that's a local derby, that.
Yeah, oh, big local derby. Beaconsfield are currently beneath them.
What are the biggest derbies in the UK? I'd love to, like, because Hull, there's two teams in Hull, isn't there?
Oh, that's got to be up there.
Oh, that's rugby league, though, particularly. Rugby league.
There are two teams in rugby union Hull as well.
Ionians.
Ionians and Hull.
Yeah.
Regular Hull.
Yeah.
Standard Hull.
And they're in the same league, aren't they?
They've played in the same league at times.
It used to be the case that Darlington, Loudon Park and Darlington were in the same league. They're not anymore, but they were.
Sheffield and Sheffield Tigers are in the same league.
They're
in National 2. Yeah, which Hull got promoted from last year, Ionians are.
That's
still.
What I want some help with. Contact edchasers@gmail.com. I want Bobby emails and messages and stuff.
LSH Wigan is very good. Sorry, Widnes is very good. LSH...
Waterloo must be LSH. Waterloo must be.
Yeah, that'll be a very good
that'll
one.
Go back years and years.
So look, Liverpool St Helens and West Park St Helens are in the same league.
Yeah, at one point Waterloo and New Brighton would have been tasty. Well,
New
as
Brighton
well.
Are an absolute joke now.
Yeah,
in terms of where they are, what's happened to that club. I think they're so low down they can't get relegated.
They used to have like a giant 40-year-old Fijian number 8 who Catty. Would just steamroll over.
He's incredible, an incredible human. Yeah, he was still playing until very, very recently. Played both for Samoa in a World Cup. And he also plays for New Brighton.
Nice. Richmond London Scottish will be very tasty because they, I don't know if they still play on the same ground, but they have been playing on the same ground.
Yeah.
At the Richmond Athletic Ground.
So just a few bits and pieces about New Brighton whilst we're here. May as well. back in the day, they used to do a carvery. Not a carvery. A Sunday lunch, but of course on a Saturday, with Silver Service for their committee members and the committee of the other team who sat in the stands above the clubhouse. That was their thing.
Awesome.
So you come in your blazer, here's your Silver Service beef and whatnot. And the other thing is, it's very interesting to see who historically has sponsored New Brighton, because all the bits that they've been sponsored by are plastered all over their clubhouse. For instance, they've got these two conservatories. The only reason they'd ever have a conservatory like that is purely because they must have been sponsored by a conservatory supplier. There's no possible other reason that you would have a conservatory over the entrance of your changing rooms, but they do.
So. It's a bit like a tunnel club that like Tottenham and City yeah. and various
it's
other places.
It's a very early version of the tunnel club.
Tunnel club yeah.
So you can watch the players emerge from the changing room for a good 5 yards through the tunnel.
Yeah. Access to the New Brighton players has never really been that restricted, has it?
Well, back in the day, they were a big club.
I'd love to know.
A lot of money.
In the southwest, I bet there are some fierce derbies.
Yeah.
Local derbies. I'd love to know. Let us know. What's the biggest? Let's try and map out the biggest derbies.
North Walesbury, mate.
In England rugby. Yeah, yeah, 100%. By the way, the Raffy Quirks Broughton Park under 15s team now have started listening to the podcast.
Oh, good lads.
They've clocked that they get met. And every time we have a win, they go, "You're going to mention that? You're going to mention my try?" So I said no. But
make your own luck.
But I will mention that a good win against Bowden.
Oh, it's Bowden.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do they pay their kids as well, or is it just it's just the adults that they pay?
It's very nice. Like that.
Jokes. I like Bowden. Good club.
No, it is a good club. It is a good club. But that was one of the things. But when you're chatting to the lads, you're like, right, these are lads from Cheshire. Let's show them what yeah. what boys from South Manchester are like. Come on.
We overheard a team talk for the opposition last year, and they described Didsbury Sock H as playing pub rugby, and they're only good enough to be playing the Dog and Duck because we came from a lower down league. We put 101 points on them. Cheers, boys.
I do. Bowden Rugby Club isn't in Bowden. It's basically Withenshaw Hospital.
Yes, it is.
It's like a quarter of a mile away from Withenshaw Hospital. So it should be. They think they're posh, but they should be called Withenshaw Rugby Club.
They should be. Well, there is a.
There is now a Withenshaw Rugby Club.
Yeah. So Bowden. Well, the actual facility is amazing. The pitch is amazing. Apparently, a second team pitch gets run off from a pig farm.
So there are a lot of farms from.
Yeah, and it used to be horrendous, the second team pitch. I think they've sorted that, but that was like the historic thing about Bowden. You never wanted to play second team.
So we had a thing today where the referee would decide, when you got a penalty and you wanted to kick to touch, the referee would decide where he thinks the line out should be taken, and he wouldn't let you kick because they lost too many balls in the house on the far side of the pitch, and they wouldn't. And that neighbour is obviously quite bitter and won't give the balls back.
Selling them
on
eBay.
That's amazing. Just put up a big fence.
So the ref just says, "Oh, I think you would have got it around here. Line out there."
Oh, imagine that. Yeah, that's amazing. It's very. It's a novel solution. Yeah. 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 Excellent stuff. So, Goodwin, what was the score?
22-12. And we were missing quite a few players and didn't have a scrum half when we started. Didn't have a prop. We had a few lads away. Lancashire Cup in 2 weeks. That's what we're building to.
It's a big one.
Tasty. Yeah.
We need to get over Warrington next week. That is, we get over Warrington, we've got a few games which will be slightly easier. Warrington is the big one. They are third. we need to beat them. Although Widnes did us a massive favour this week and beat Warrington, so just gives us a little bit of breathing room. Whole league.
Mm. So there's a few top level Premiership,
and
URC games, and some top 14 games.
So let's start with the Premiership, shall we?
Yeah.
I get in on a Friday night, and I'm thinking, do you know what? I would like to sit in front of my TV, watch a bit of the football, and then watch a bit of the rugby. To my absolute disgust, BT Sport were not carrying the Friday night game. So there was, instead of having three games to watch this week, I don't know why this was the case. So I googled to see where I could catch rugby on Premiership TV for £3.40. Now I have no problem paying for a game which wasn't going to be televised. If Sale are playing someone in Leicester on TV and Sale are the non-televised game, you either go to the game or you fork out. But when you pay for BT Sport and you've signed up for three games a week, you get three games a week. There was no way on earth I was paying for £3 or £4. Even if it was the All Blacks, I would not be paying that. And I suspect lots of people feel this way. It's an absolute joke. If you've signed up for three games, show three games.
Well, I don't think they don't say they'll play three games a week. That game will be made up. For example, there's a doubleheader on this Saturday coming.
Mm.
There's two games. There's an 8 p.m. Saturday game.
So do you,
Bristol v Leicester.
So do you think?
Oh, the Pat Lam referee scandal. Yeah.
You're lying, yeah. Pat.
Yeah. You're lying, Pat. So I think possibly it's.
You reckon they've got a limited number of games? Do you?
Well. So they will make that game will be made up elsewhere, and I think that what they may have been doing is actually, and if you think about it, if you flip it round, and obviously I'm very biased here, but if you flip it round and say they were going, all right, the reality is, for a large chunk of our potential audience, they will be watching England in the football.
Yes.
So
a very large.
So let's move a game to a space where there isn't an England football game, and then we're serving our potential audience much better overall.
Well,
as much as I love the Friday night rugby as well.
That's what I wanted to see.
And I was driving down to London on Friday night. I was flicking between BBC Radio Devon and BBC Radio Gloucester.
Well, it got to a stage, and I'm not proud to say this, but I ended up watching Doak and Hume and the rest of the boys take on Zebra. And
beatdown.
An absolute beatdown. I was watching Zebra, it was like watching a Premiership All-Stars team from 2007. So you had Kvesic playing, you had Chris Cook playing. There was a few of them. And I imagine they'll pick up a few more.
Yeah, there'll probably be a few more going sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. So yeah,
good win for my boys. So, I didn't watch it because I was watching England.
I tell you what, Ulster, it wasn't obviously the strongest Ulster team for obvious reasons.
Do you regret that choice now, Phil, in hindsight?
I regret watching England. I would have rather watched anything else. Yeah. And definitely my beloved Ulster. So yes, I do. It's an awful. This is not a football podcast.
Yeah, well, I mean, considering how many players were not in Ulster squad, they do put out some talent.
Mm.
No two ways about that.
They've not got a bad squad.
Wait till Kitsoff gets that jersey on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Stockers is playing.
It's my boy Stockers.
Stockers is back. Is he back in any form yet?
Would
he ever get into any form again?
I'm just trying to think.
That is a fall from grace, isn't it, Crichton? He's had a proper.
He was about 18 months out injured. He's only early this year. He's coming back for the first time in a long, long time.
How long's his hair at the minute? What's he done with it?
I've not seen him since the start. It was kind of semi long, I think, at the start of the season.
Is there another McIlroy? It's not Ethan McIlroy, is there? Is there two of them?
Rory.
Not Rory McIlroy.
Not Rory McIlroy.
Ethan, yeah.
Ethan is the winger.
Is that the guy with great feet? Have I got the right guy? He's got mega feet.
Solid winger. Mega feet would be Mike Lowry.
No.
He's got great feet.
No.
Gilroy?
Not Gilroy.
Gilroy, maybe.
Not Gilroy.
Maybe Gilroy.
Gilroy's a bit past it now.
Is it?
Mm. Yeah.
McIlroy, Gilroy. Yeah, it probably is.
Bella Coon has got great feet.
He has got great feet. Yes. Jeffrey Tumanga-Allen plays for you know.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. All the stars.
Was that pre-Wasps? That was before Wasps went bump.
Was it?
Yeah, I'm sure it was. But Rory Sutherland was picked up when Worcester went, although I don't think he was playing because he got injured for Scotland. Scotland?
I don't,
yeah. He's injured anyway.
Well, Mark Kvesic played eight. He's great at number eight, but then he was playing against a rugby god in Dwayne Vermaelen.
Yeah.
And the score probably reflected exactly the teams.
That is a bit of a mismatch.
It's a bit of a mismatch, isn't it? I thought the biggest mismatch in terms of back rows was going to be Ollie Cracknell, who can bang, against Seven Star, who plays for Bath. What's his name?
De Carpentier.
It's completely wrong. De Carpentier played him off the field.
By the way, because you just mentioned Worcester, someone sent us a link to the hearing.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it. No, I was wondering if you had.
I have seen parts of it, actually. And I was hoping Phil would watch it so he could give me the details. The OFU did not come out well. There was one particular point where Bill Sweeney's trying to answer a question. And he just doesn't have the balls to say what he should say. So the question was a basic yes or no answer. Were conversations had about the fit and proper test prior to these Worcester owners taking over? And he just kept on going, well, there were learnings, you know, and it's just the way he answered the question just made him look very disingenuous. And that's not him. You know, that is not that's not who the man is. So I don't think he did himself any favours with his style of answering questions. But he should have used, and so should Massey Taylor, have used that platform to describe to the world exactly what is wrong with their organisations. They had the perfect platform to say, because I don't know where the RFU responsibility starts and where it ends. I don't know. I mean, is it the RFU's responsibility to vet the Worcester owners? Is it Premiership Rugby's responsibility? Where does the power lie? I really don't understand where the demarcation is between the two organisations. Who does what? They should have been very clear on that.
It's probably more Premier Rugby, I would have thought, but I don't actually know.
Yeah.
Because it's their brand, isn't it?
It is.
And they have responsibilities to the RFU, as the RFU have responsibilities to them, but they are separate entities.
Yeah.
So one would assume it's more PRL. But it ultimately reflects badly on both parties, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
And it causes ripples and consequences for both parties.
Yeah, I'm sure I saw somewhere that the upshot of all this is someone's told them to resign. One of the MPs said, you're not fit for purpose. But I'd have to double check that. It didn't go well.
Do you know who they said that to? Massey Taylor?
No, I don't actually. But it was Massey Taylor and it was Sweeney sat together. So they had a tough time of it. Rightly so. But they had such a good opportunity to be open and public about the mess the rugby administration is in. And I don't think anyone would have shot them down for that, because these are men who are meant to be working on the solutions.
Mm.
If you were honest about the problems that you face, I think they'd look a lot better and saying, yeah, there were learnings, or, you know, we think we're in a better position now. Or, you know, no, you're not. You're not.
Never apologise, never explain, though.
Well, that's it. Well, you know, you can throw your organisation under the bus without apologising.
But you're kind of throwing yourself under the bus to a degree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will try and catch up on that, because I'd be quite interested to see.
Well, there's another guy around, I think, this week with different personalities.
Mm.
I don't know who.
I wonder if I could sit in on that and ask some questions.
Mm. Well, you can, actually.
Yeah.
You can ask questions. I've sat in on a select committee hearing.
Mm.
I did it for, I want to say it's Foreign Aid or something. I went to visit the House of Parliament, and there's a select committee.
Mm.
And you just walk in, and you sit down, and you watch it. Dead easy.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, really.
My leg's just gone to sleep. Okay. Stand up.
Your chair not as comfortable as ours, Tim?
No, that's all right. But unfortunately, Munster never came through with sending us the sin bin chair.
Well, it wasn't Munster, it was Biffa, wasn't it?
It was still Munster.
I thought it was in the someone bin. Within Munster.
Shame. Real shame, that. Real shame.
Am I right in saying there's one more week of Premiership where internationals are now available if clubs choose to use them, and then we're into the European fortnight.
Right,
yeah.
So then it gets serious. So anyway, talking of serious, I said who are not serious. Bristol, anyone see us?
No, this is the one game I've not.
Bristol looked all right.
They did. This was their best.
They looked much more like Bristol.
Well, do you see the try that they scored?
Piers O'Connor's. Which one of his? He scored two, didn't he?
The one where they all run into the short side. It looks like a training drill, and it's phenomenal.
No, I
do you know it's a training drill where you line up in the You line up four lads behind each other, and you run towards the tackle bag. And as you get to the tackle bag, the guy behind you pops up to the left, and you just lift
the ball in the middle.
Yeah,
yeah, and you lift, lift, lift.
The ball
lift.
Kind of stays static.
No, the ball does move. So you sort of run, you lift the ball, the oncoming player to your left then goes into the space that you left into the next bag. So you're attacking a straight line,
yeah,
one behind the other, and you're attacking bags, which are one behind the other. That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And they did that to Sale. Perfectly. They just showed up on the blind side, pop, 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 round the corner, and scored. It was one of the nicest little tries I've seen in a long time.
Mm.
Beautifully executed. So they did that. But yeah, this was their best chance to win. I don't think they'll be able to put out many stronger teams than this. They didn't have Semi, but they had all of the other superstars out. The pack had most of their big hitters in.
Although they're frankly, missing £1 million of prop.
Yes, they are missing their prop. Piatel played, Semi props, didn't. Yeah. Chris Louis did, Stephen Luatua did, Fitz Harding. So, you know, they were good to roll.
But they were at Sale and they pushed Sale all the way, 25-20. Away at Sale. And Sale, likewise, only missing Johnny Hill, really.
Yes, they needed to win this, I think.
Manu.
Manu
and Johnny Hill.
But, I mean, this makes second to bottom now, if you exclude Wasps and
yeah,
Worcester.
It was. It's a very important couple of games, actually. That one for Bristol was one. And I also think Exeter losing to Newcastle was very significant. I think had Exeter won that one, they could actually look at this first half of the season and go, all right, not perfect, but we're in touch and we're all right.
You know what I'm doing?
Yeah. Well, if they win that, they're top four.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got 1 point, so yeah, they would be because of wins. So yeah, they'd be in the top four if they win that.
Fair play to Newcastle. I think we called Newcastle winning last week, didn't we?
And
tough place to go. Horrible place to go on a Friday night.
Tough place to go, and Newcastle have got two amazing party tricks. One is George McGuigan firing off the back of a rolling maul.
Mm.
Number two is Mateo Carreras.
Yeah, that's a real party.
There is no excuse, however. I was listening to, as I say, I was flicking around on the radio stations. I wasn't listening to the football. I was listening to BBC Radio Devon and covering the game up at Kingston Park. And there is no excuse for the PA system at Newcastle. It's over the
well,
top.
Well, two things about Newcastle. Over the top. The PA system's ridiculous. Also, the camera angles they use are ridiculous. Because they film the small stand, don't they?
They do.
And they should flip it around and film the big stand. Because it's quite a big stand. It's quite an impressive stand.
Yeah.
Instead, it just looks like a couple of ports cabins and a primary school. It looks rubbish.
Yeah. Some temporary toilets.
Yeah. No, thank you.
It's a good win. And it is, exactly as you say, Tim, frustrating for Exeter. Now, I've only seen the highlights of this, the whatever it is, 13, 14-minute highlights. But it's notable that Exeter didn't score any penalties. Whether they had any kickable penalties, I'm not certain, but it looks likely that they turned down kickable points that would have potentially meant the difference between winning and losing.
Yep.
Well, they were up at half-time. You know, they were going, okay, I was following the score because I couldn't watch it live on TV. I was following the score on Twitter, and you know, by all accounts, they were doing well. But
well, I mean, had BT Sport had their Friday night game, surely they would have been at the Stoop.
Yes, of course they would. Of course they would. Yeah, that's exactly the game that I wanted to watch.
Mm.
It sounds like Quinn's handily did a job on Gloucester, who was spirited and came back a little bit in the second half, but not enough. Didn't have enough. And where does that leave Gloucester in the table? Because they've had a little bit of a slide, haven't they?
It's close to seventh.
Yeah, currently seventh.
They are.
Now they've played
4 points above Bath, which is a sad indictment.
But equal on points with Exeter Chiefs. But they've also played. Well, they've played 8 games, which some teams have played 9. But Gloucester, because they had a couple of. They didn't play for like 3 weeks early.
Yeah,
early
so when Bath get their game in hand, there's a good chance that they go above Exeter.
Well, there's a chance.
Exeter and Gloucester. Well, yeah. Big chance because
they're
on 8.
There's always a
17
chance.
17 points, 21. Yeah, they could even go level with Leicester. Imagine if Bath make top 4.
That would be remarkable.
Wouldn't that just be just real kick in the teeth for rugby? What would we talk about every weekend? That would be awful.
Yeah, it's a good. I looked at this fixture, Quins v Gloucester, and thought, oh, Gloucester have a chance here because they hardly lose anyone and Quins lose a few people. But actually, Quinns weren't really losing, other than Marcus Smith.
That's it.
They weren't losing anyone.
No. They had Esther Hazen, Marchant,
Tommaso Allen, who's been out for them. Dom Brandt, yeah. Caden Murley, who's obviously been in the England squad. They're all there, all available. So it's actually a strong Quinns team with, obviously, Marcus Smith is more important for Quinns than he is for England. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
Yeah, substantially.
But they had more than enough to beat Gloucester.
Yeah, it's the post-international window which is tricky for teams. Not that, because they don't really know who they can pick, who they can't pick. For whatever reason it is, Welsh players can easily deal with playing three international games and then, like, Luis Rizamet, you know, show up. And then others they can't use.
That was it. That was a lovely moment in this game where Caden Murley steps inside Luis Rizamet and accelerates.
Oh.
I don't know if you saw this.
No, what happens next?
Well,
so late on in the game, breakdown, I think it was a turnover, Caden Murley breaks down the left and Rees-Summit is coming across to make the tackle and he steps inside him. So Rees-Summit actually has to turn his back to then try and catch. So Murley's passed him.
Yeah.
Rees-Summit has to turn and then try and catch him. And he does.
Incredible.
Caden Murley was going full pelt. He's absolutely flying.
Well,
and Rees-Summit catches him in a relatively short space of time.
Wow. Well, you know my views on Rees-Summit. I think he is rugby's Ronaldo. They look sort of similar build. You know, they're not overly big. He's just amazing. He's just absolutely astounding rugby player.
If you were gonna make a video game, like in a UK based one, he's the face you put on it.
Oh, he's the face of rugby, I think.
No, Colby and. Surely worldwide, you've got Bowden Barrett.
Bowden Barrett, yeah. Munga.
Barrett, Zamet, Maro. Those would be the mega stars that I push.
Marcus Smith has not made it. His hair's beautiful. He knows how to play with it in the right manner. But he's just not done it on the big stage.
Yeah, he needs to be better.
He is very, very... he's a very engaging guy, Marcus Smith. Got a lot of time for him. And he's very keen on media, so watch this space. So he did I was chatting to some of the guys when I was working for TalkSport Twickenham. They were working on one of the NFL games, wherever it was, one of the Tottenham Stadium, perhaps.
Yeah.
And Marcus Smith was there to watch the game and did a little TalkSport, sort of grabbed him and went, "Oh, Marcus, you know, NFL fan, come and have a chat." And he did a chat. And what the TalkSport guy said... he did that I've said on this podcast before, he always says the name of the person that's talking to him, whoever you are. He says, yeah, the thing is, Phil, you got this, and look, JB, it's a very engaging thing to do. And the second thing is, as soon as it finished and it was off, he went to the producer, he said, "How was that? Was that okay? And can you give me some feedback?"
Interesting.
He's an impressive guy.
Yeah. Other faces. Next year's World Cup winning captain, Charles Olivon. Could be the face of rugby.
If they win the... DuPont. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
It's DuPont, isn't it?
It is. DuPont.
Although you can only fit his face on the box. His head is so large.
It is the box. There's no just open it up and take the CD out.
See a Khaleesi as well.
And Kapusu. You've got to fit Kapusu. What's his name in there?
And Kapusu.
No, I think legitimately it's DuPont. And Khaleesi and
Colby, Bowden Barrett,
and then maybe you sneak Rees-Summit on.
What about Len or Alan or Ned
or Finn Russell? Jed? Finn Russell with a bottle of 2020, something like that. Buckfast.
One of those.
Actually, sack all this. It should be the man who is the most important player in the world. Who should be the highest paid player in the world.
Franz Malherbe.
Well, should be.
Well, whilst we're on this, let me tell you about a concept called fracking the pie. So
you mentioned this earlier, you teased it.
Don't tell us about your Pornhub subcategories.
Exactly. I might mark this up in case I can't explain it in any kind of logical way. But I think it's a fast...
No, come on, we'll take you through this. Oh, hold on, how about just, like... Premiership game that you saw today, London Irish v Leicester. You watched all of that, right?
Watched all of it.
Yeah.
So a couple of minutes on that, and then we'll come to this.
Then we'll frack some pie.
Yeah.
Watch entertaining game. It looked at the start like Leicester would always have enough, But the longer it went on, the more London Irish came into it. And when that, there was the double, there was Matt Rogerson scored, and then almost immediately, Ollie Hassel Collins scored that great try, great pace.
For his future club. Yeah. Oh. Against his future club.
Against
his
future club.
Is he signed, is he?
No, he hasn't signed, but he will. When these rumours are like that, it's done it's deals, happening. Isn't it?
Yeah. And if Paddy Jackson had his kicking boots on, it could have been a different story. But good win for Leicester, 5-point win for them. And sadly, the last game that we'll see Nemanja Nadolu.
Yeah. He's been a bit of a star. Very sceptical about how effective he'd be in the Premiership and for Leicester Tigers. Ageing superstar, I did not think he was going to do well. And let's be honest, not a fan of his conditioning. I thought all those things combined, he would not do. I didn't think he'd do anything. I think he's been very, very good.
He just offers something.
He does.
So dangerous and different to, even to, like, Manu, I guess, would be the closest you've got in terms of just the power and the size, but he's so much bigger than Manu. He's like 3 stone heavier
huge.
Than Mar-
he's huge.
Absolutely huge. He looks huge compared to. So he was. You see him stood alongside Jasper Visa, who is legitimately Springbok number 8. Springbok number 8 will be the biggest man in the world, and he's massive compared to Jasper Visa. He is so enormous. He can still move.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Going forward, I think he does sometimes get exposed going backwards when teams kind of play around him.
Did anyone mention Andre Pollard today in comms? Because he got injured when in like 15 minutes of his
debut.
Playing
fullback, brilliant.
But then we haven't seen him since. And Leicester just do not give you any information on anything.
Not that I'm aware of, but I watched most of the second half with the kids, so I was kind of on mute not listening to as much as I should have been.
No, that's fine.
So, no.
No, okay.
No inside information for your fantasy rugby draft team, I'm afraid.
Yeah, that's what you're after, is it?
Well, I did pick him up.
So sneaky.
I did pick him up off the waiver wire on Saturday because I just need a fly half. I don't have a fly half. Hmm. But anyway.
Fly halves are difficult.
Have I won any games yet?
No. Set your bloody team and you would have done today.
You could have easily won today.
Oh, well. I think until next year, the dream of fantasy rugby draft is over. Next year.
Set your lineup out of respect for your...
Out of respect.
Yeah.
For the people you're playing with. And then, what was it? Was there any other games?
That was it.
That was it.
So Newcastle Exeter, Harlequins, Gloucester, Sale Bristol, and Tigers Irish.
Worcester and Wasp have got a lot to answer for.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They really do.
And they might do answer for it this week in front of the MPs. So good luck.
We'll see.
Best of luck.
JB, fracking the pie.
Oh yeah, fracking the pie. So
I'm going to say one more thing before we get into this. You just reminded me, a mate of mine worked in Wolverhampton for a bit. So I went to visit him once. We were walking through a park and there was this couple on a bench.
Oh no.
And we overheard her say to him, they finished kissing and she went, oh, I'm just going to get this. It was a sort of Brummy accent. Take me home and smash my pie in.
Oh. That's horrendous. That's horrendous. God. I feel awful. I feel ill.
Oh, my God.
It happened. I'm sorry, but yeah.
It happened.
I apologise. It happened.
Nothing we can do about that. It just happened.
JB.
So, fracking the pie. And this is a commercial concept, okay? And I have not created this. It's come from an American sports writer, and I heard about it this week. I thought, bloody hell, what does that say? What does that say about rugby? So what's happening in sports at the moment is we're all chasing future revenues. The whole sport is based on future revenues. And they need to continue to grow these revenues in order to pay the players, and it's expansion for expansion's sake. But they're not doing particularly well, which is why you end up with these ridiculous situations with FTX, which would be a great example, sponsoring the arena of the Miami Heat. Mm-hmm. Now, FTX, on the face of it, why would FTX want to sponsor Miami Heat? Now, in case you don't know, look at the FTX story. It is a cryptocurrency trading exchange, yada, yada, yada.
That has completely, catastrophically imploded.
Yes, exactly right. Exactly right.
Because it was, not because of anything beyond the fact it was...
Fraud.
Fraud.
Yeah. A Ponzi scheme dressed up as legitimate.
But the media currently running cover for it's the guy amazing, who caused the fraud, because, well, you kind of wonder...
He's stolen millions of people's...
Billions
of people's money.
Yes.
Billions of people's money. I know, but it seems to be getting covered by the media. It appears potentially because... also in on the scam,
everybody
is lots of people in positions of very, very high power.
Well, allegedly, it's money laundering.
Potentially, including the President of the United States.
And money laundering via Ukraine, and there's all sorts of things going on. So anyway, you can get into that another time because it's fascinating. Yes. But yeah, FTX sponsors the stadium.
Yeah.
And this is what we would call fracking the pie. Because all of the sports leagues in the United States, and particularly football over here, have been looking for the longest time to actually grow the pie. So you look at the investment they made, the NBA, this is into China, 20 years of investment into China, well, that blew up spectacularly. You see the football clubs trying to get into markets across the globe, and that's kind of failing now. They've sort of reached their peak, and that's why you probably see Liverpool up for sale and Manchester United up for sale, because they think they've probably grown as much as they can. So instead of growing the pie, what you end up doing is you start fracking the pie. You start looking at who is it that you can sell things to, no difference to sponsorship for the longest time, really, but who is watching sport. And you get this really fascinating rubber meets the road situation where if you look at, say, the people that market sport and market the... say sportswear, like, I don't know, whoever it may be, they would tell you that the average rugby fan is a postgraduate degree woman of colour and her diverse mates. But the rubber meets the road when you see all the gambling companies come into football and come into rugby and FTX, which is basically just another form of gambling. Because they're saying, no, actually, you don't have postdoctorate degree women watching your sport. You've got like Barstool slubs and middle class men, and we want them to gamble. So you've got a situation now where they're basically just fracking the pie, and you can see that the sponsors that are coming in are doing so in order to sell to that particular demographic, and they're loving it. And so very weird combinations happen, like the NBA giving you your social justice lecture, whilst meanwhile, fingers crossed that you get addicted to gambling, and it's it is quite an interesting dynamic. So I thought, like, how does this work for rugby? Because rugby is not... Someone says he's not managed to grow its pie.
Nope.
It doesn't know...
France is slightly growing their pie.
France is, right?
But England isn't. And, Wales isn't.
Yeah, and to so-called grow the pie, it's not as if they need to go to new markets, because they have... Well, they've not even saturated their primary market. And the secondary problem to this is... If football and all the American sports think that they're sort of marketing to a fresh new market of young, trendy, diverse women, does rugby think that? Because you actually would think, by all the campaigns it runs, bloody, I don't know, Don't Beat Your Wife Week at Saracens and what's the other one? Rainbow Laces Week at Bath and all that sort of stuff. It seems to be that they do not think, or they don't know who their core client is. So they're simultaneously... not doing anything like, you don't see much of the gambling companies in rugby. So presumably either nobody bets on rugby or the gambling companies don't think that rugby has the right demographic to target.
Well, I do. So, a friend of ours we've all played with was at a point in time a professional gambler.
Yep.
And I can't remember the exact stats, but he said a Premier League game in would have like tens of millions of pounds. Any standard Premier League game, the betting markets would be covered to the tune of tens of millions of pounds of bets on that. And rugby would struggle to get to £10,000 on standard games. Like they are just... The order of magnitude difference is right, but the figures will be slightly wrong because it was years since we have this conversation.
Yeah.
But it is an enormous order of magnitude less the betting market for rugby.
So the only real betting company is LeoVegas, who used to be Leicester Tigers. I don't think they are now.
Don't know.
So even LeoVegas have moved out of the rugby space. We did something for two gambling firms, didn't we? We did rugby but better, and I've done something for Betfair, I think.
Yeah, Six Nations. Because probably Six Nations is one of those where there is a bigger market.
So they've not really managed to exploit... I mean, that's probably a good thing. They've not really managed to exploit their existing fans. They're certainly not growing the pie. And yet, simultaneously, I can't help but think, when I look at the trials and tribulations of football in the NBA, who are so desperate to grow their audience, have got to go to different markets and different demographics, then rugby hasn't even reached half the people that should be interested in rugby. And yet, we're struggling. And if you look at the things they are trying to do to improve their reach, if you talk to Premiership Rugby, you would all of their focus is on broadening out the game to, you know, women or something like that. And it's just, I'm thinking, you're nuts.
There was
absolutely nuts.
Hey, I'm not necessarily saying this is the wrong thing to
do. Although I do think women do like rugby more than they like football. So maybe it's not nuts.
Yeah, maybe. By the way, when I say this, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with doing this. My observation from being at Twickenham, there is clearly an effort to present rugby as if you looked at the presentation of the game and the whole event and the personnel that are on the fan zone areas and on the camera on the, if you just looked at them, you would assume rugby is very young.
It's not.
It's a very young sport. And then you look around at the actual people that are there, and I don't know if this is along the lines of what you're talking about, but it's just a spin-off of what you're saying, is what's being presented is not matching who your audience actually is.
Yes.
And that is not...
Because I think it is?
And that's not going to work, is it?
They are ashamed of who their audience is. It's not cool, is it? It's not cool to go into the boardroom and say, our audience is... wealthy middle-aged man who goes to Twickenham.
But this is what I mean. The sponsors of rugby do know this because it's Land Rover and it's Guinness.
And Investec.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the wealth management firms. It's not the gambling firms.
They know who's watching rugby and who cares about rugby.
Yeah, and I think that's a
very interesting point, yeah.
So the gambling firms, I mean, Twickenham's a huge stadium, a huge platform for a lot of firms. You'd have thought if there was any gambling interest, it would have manifested itself there, but there's just not. FTX, I guess, would be, you know, because Twickenham fans have a lot of money.
Mm. In terms of fracking the pie, I would say that international rugby, you can see routes to growth, and there's lots of very, very lucrative sponsors that are desperate to get involved. The lower down the pyramid, when you get to Premiership, you can see. I mean, look at some of the sponsors of some of the Premiership clubs.
Maserati parking.
You're starting to scratch. But that's Quins, and then you're starting to sort of go. Is it Worcester had like a local boiler company?
Oh, well, hang on. Oh, Bosch. To be fair, Bosch is a big
I take that back.
But Newcastle have on their staff laptops a paving and drive company.
Right, so, there you go.
I know exactly what you mean. Also, I've a Beardmore & Co, independent financial advisors, were toying with the idea of sponsoring Byron McGuigan or Aaron Reed. Because of course he scores lots of tries. It's very easy to do so. Very cost effective if you want to go and sponsor a sale player.
Whereas if you want to sign Mario Toji's image rights, like Nigel Ray
will be rubbing his hands.
Rock Nation and Jay-Z have a piece of that pie.
Exactly.
Then.
So I guess just to build on what you were saying, JB, we always talk about the objective of rugby being to grow the pie. And actually things like a global season and a thin alignment, I think, would actually facilitate the growth of the pie. But what for every month or season that goes by where those big picture decisions aren't made, to get by, clubs are having to try and squeeze more out of what they already have.
Yes.
And that is stadium sales, that is putting the price of your kits up, or I don't know, or I don't know. But that's where rugby's struggling, because there is a finite amount of money you can squeeze out of any given rugby fan.
Yeah, the sports writer who I got these quotes from, or this idea from, this guy called Ethan Strauss. So if you want to read up on him, he'll explain his concept far more eloquently than I have done. Just with rugby. I mean,
the general point? Was he just describing what happens, or was there a value?
Yeah, there wasn't anything to do with rugby. He was talking about the NBA.
No, I know, but was there a value judgment on it?
Yeah, there was. Actually,
you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
Like
so
this.
What he was saying is that a load of NFL players, a load of NBA players get scammed for money. I think it's scammed for money by FTX, by gambling companies, you know. And
Tom Brady lost millions on FTX.
And crypto is perfect for it, because crypto is always like, you must buy now. You know, you must buy now. The thing is going off, and if you don't buy now, you're going to miss out. To the moon, exactly. That's exactly what they're up to.
Well, wasn't the biggest person in... last I read, they've not released any names, but there was more than 50 people who had invested more than $20 million into FTX, the biggest of which was something in the region of $250 million.
Yeah. Oh, my word.
What is effectively a Ponzi scheme with virtually nothing back. I mean, some of the stuff that's come out of it.
The emojis for expenses is my favourite.
On a disappearing chat.
Yeah, so you submit your expenses and you get emoji thumbs up or emoji thumbs down.
From a disparate group of managers. The worse than that, they didn't even have a consolidated list of employees.
Yeah.
They didn't have a list of who was working there.
You know, I wondered, you know, when I read that about the list of employees, if I showed up to work at FTX, would anyone send me home?
Yeah. Guys, the coffee's good. Chai latte's on point today, boys.
Would anyone say anything? How long until I actually get employed? You know, it'd be mad. So
insane.
Yeah, so the point was that the players are getting ripped off, but the players are just collateral damage, because they don't really care if the players lose 70 million quid or whatnot. What they really want is the fans to invest, and that's why FCX Stadium exists, and that's why, you know, all the gambling companies are coming in. And they made the point that you got the two ends of the spectrum here. You got FTX, which has no regulation whatsoever, and gambling, which has incredibly high regulations. And they both basically do the same thing. And there's that is a problem for me, because I'm like you, Tim. Let adults do what adults do. If you want to gamble. It's completely on you. I don't think there's anything wrong. If you want to get crypto, go get some crypto. I hate the idea of it being regulated or missing from the sport. But I also hate the idea of people getting screwed out of their money or getting addicted to gambling or losing it all, or, you know, all that sort of stuff. So I don't really know what the right answer is. So that was, it's more like a point of interest. Like,
yeah, no, it's
how much should they be? How much should these companies be exploiting their fans? But that's what fans are there for. Fans are there to buy stuff. They want to be sold. I mean, when I go to sale, or I go to any rugby club, I want to be sold their stuff. I get very annoyed if there's not the right pin badge on sale. I want their merchandise. I want the experience. I want whatever they're selling.
So,
really.
So I was at Bowden Rugby Club, local. I don't know what level it'll be, level 7, level 8, something like that.
And
they had a club shop out the front of the, in the car park. It's like
like a little trailer.
No, it wasn't a trailer. It wasn't a porta cabin. It was like one of those garden offices that you can buy.
Oh, like a new Brighton conservatory type thing.
Yeah, but with a, you know, double glazing door, double doors that open, and pop up shop, and I thought yeah, that's awesome.
Fair
play, very cool. My favourite thing about the FTX thing is I love Curb Your Enthusiasm, one of my favourite shows, and the Larry David advert. FTX got him to do the advert, and the whole point was it was Larry David in loads of different circumstances going, oh, I don't see the point in this thing. It seems like a scam, because that's very Larry David and Curb Your Enthusiasm, to be very cynical. And then at the end of it, after he goes, FTX, I'm not sure about this. And that was meant to be there. And now it's like, oh yeah, Larry knew.
Larry always And he exploited them for however much he got paid out of it.
He fracked that pie.
He certainly did. Certainly did.
Interesting concept.
Yeah, I like it. And, yeah. I was trying to write something about this for Rugby Pass, but I don't actually know what. It's hard because there's no conclusions, is there? It doesn't happen in rugby.
I think it's how much can you squeeze out of fans and before you have to accept the fact that you need to grow the pie.
Yeah.
And rugby is at the point where they have to grow.
And there's a sustainability issue as well. I mean, why is it not okay just to be sustainable? But like, I don't think any businesses are okay just to be sustainable. I don't think Langer Rourke would be very happy. We're just sustainable.
It works the other way around. When I was a teacher, this used to do my head in. As someone who oh my God, it used to do my head in. And you both have wives in the public sector, and I bet it's exactly the same. You get to like the end of a year, and if you had some money left over, you go, "Oh, great! Well, haven't we done well working well within our means, and we saved a few quid? No, we've got to spend it, otherwise we won't get that in our budget next year.
We'll get
less next year. So you spend it on crap that you don't need.
Yeah, crazy, isn't it?
I could tell you some incredible stories, which I will not do on air, about that kind of thing. Some remarkable stories.
Yeah. Well, it's not that many, so. Great times.
Worst one on that I heard, and honestly, the BBC is one that does my head in because I work as for a competitor, and the one that did my head in the most. Bearing in mind, I used to go to bed, when I did a breakfast show on XFM, I used to go to bed and early, but before I did, I'd sort of be flicking around on the telly, and I'd see adverts for my competitor on BBC, paid for partly. So I felt like I'm paying for a massive prime time advert before England's football match in the World Cup saying, "Listen to your competitor tomorrow morning." It used to do my head in.
Same with the BBC's offering of rugby podcasts as an example.
Yep.
It gets pushed everywhere you can imagine.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't have.
But they won't be talking about fracking the pie. I guarantee you that.
100%.
This is the only place you can get chat like that.
Definitely. Oh yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Although, just one last one. Yeah, whilst it's fresh in my mind, we did cover a crypto story in rugby, didn't we?
We did. I seem to remember me being remarkably cynical about it.
Fan tokens.
Fan tokens. Now, if you want to talk about a crypto with no value attached to it, the fan token will be right up there. But you know, looking at that, it's a mixture of gambling and crypto, but it does seem rather malign. I don't know.
Benign.
But benign. It doesn't seem. There's nothing in that really, other than, I don't know. It's just a nothing.
Yeah, the honest way to say it was, we want a bit more money from you. Here's a token effort that you might get something for giving us a few quid.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
And it's also, when all you've got is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Like a crypto company trying to fit their product onto the sports scene.
What do they call it? Technological masturbation. There's just no point for it.
There is no point to it. Like you are solving a problem that doesn't exist with a technology that you want to push to people.
Yeah, so tokens basically what sunk FTX. I see no reason to have a fan token for Leicester Tigers, Harlequins.
No.
Anyone else, really?
No.
What have you been watching or reading or doing? Obviously, you've been reading that guy.
I have. What have I done recently? The pie. Yeah, I have read about a lot of financial scandals. So I did the FTX.
What was the other Tether's one? The one you need to read about as well.
I don't get Tether. So
it could be another FTX, basically.
Could it?
Yeah.
Something else I was reading. That's the one. So do you remember Bernie Madoff?
Subprime mortgage.
No.
No.
No, no.
No.
So, yeah. So
I've made off.
Oh, that was
Ponzi.
Fannie,
that was
Freddie. What? So I hear the Freddie and Fannie Mae. I never understand what that actually means. It's about the subprime mortgages and...
Yeah, lenders.
Yeah.
Mortgages and lenders, right?
But why the names Fannie and Freddie Mae?
Federal something?
Is that it? Okay. All right. Well, it doesn't really matter. I understand.
Yeah,
concept,
I have read about that years
ago. The Big Short's a good film.
Yeah. Fannie...
The Madoff Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, so the Madoff Ponzi scheme. This is incredible.
Do you know the difference between Ponzi and pyramid?
No, I don't.
Do you know, Tim? A Ponzi scheme?
No, I don't know. I don't know the difference.
A pyramid scheme, you're actually selling something. So like Herbalife, or I don't actually know. But you have a product that you sell down and you have a hierarchy of sales. So
Everyone who has someone that they know that does one of these, whether it's juices or some sort of makeup, has had to mute them from their Facebook.
Yes.
That's fracking the pie with your mates. That is.
Exactly.
So that's a pyramid scheme because there is actually a product being passed down. It's just an ever increasing pyramid. Whereas a Ponzi scheme, there is no product. It's just the promise of better returns. So like Madoff is a pure Ponzi scheme.
So Madoff is a pure Ponzi. How much money do you reckon the investors have got back?
Oh, I have seen this.
Yeah, because I told you about it.
Yeah, no, I think I'd seen it. I think I've read it prior to that. I was astonished. Genuinely astonished.
Any guesses, Tim?
No.
With 13 years afterwards, though, how much money, in the pound, if you put in a pound of Bernie Madoff, how much money would you have got back now?
What you would have been led to believe you would get back if you put a pound in, after 13 years, would be a tenner.
So Madoff, all that was doing for the Ponzi scheme 101 is you get money off a few investors, you tell them, guaranteed X percent returns, 5%, 10%, 20%. And then you pay out to those people their 10% return. And then more people come in and you pay out another 10%. So you're paying out people's returns on the promise of more people coming in. So you need an ever increasing number of people coming in the bottom end to be able to pay out to the top end.
So of your original capital, if you put in a quid, you would have got back, to date, amazingly, 75p, which is an astonishingly high amount of money considering it was a Ponzi scheme.
I could not believe that.
I couldn't either.
I thought it would just be gone.
So what happened is, as soon as Madoff's empire crumbled, a lawyer got involved called Irvin Pickard, who is, I think he's based on the same street as the Madoff offices. I'm pretty sure he's just like across the road. And him and his team, I've got all of the transactions from Madoff, and they've unpicked them all. When did they get their returns? Because if you think about it, being a Ponzi scheme, you have your seed investment right at the start, like your anchor client, if you want. Mm-hmm. And then those guys come in, start getting paid out by all the guys that start coming in subsequently. So you had to go right to start of the Ponzi scheme and literally just unpick it. When did they get their returns, and you know what was it? And because there's no underlying investment, what all you have is other people's money. Mm. You just look at that and you go, well, if you've got a 10% return, in 2006 or whenever it was, that 10% isn't yours.
10% belongs to someone else.
Somebody else's. You need to pay that 10% back, please. So they've gone from like the 10 top clients.
So rather than the bottom feeders being the ones that end up losing, it's the top feeders that are going to be the ones that lose biggest.
Yeah. So the guys,
because they'll only lose the 10% gains. They're not going to lose their original stake.
Yeah.
So they just have that taken.
They will
off
still
them.
Get their money back. Well, 75p of it. Right, but they'll have to give back all of their so-called growth, which is actually just other people's money. But of course, the longer you were in the Ponzi scheme, the more growth that you got. Mm. And I think the number one person, to give back, gave back something like 9 billion quid. So they're 17 billion quid short, and they've raised something like 15 billion or some thing, of which they've distributed a lot of it.
That's about 3 weeks worth of US.
Military
exports.
Oh yeah, it's delicious, worthless money. so yeah, the number one person invested some billions of quid. First guy in was later found drowned in his pool, completely normal, absolutely normal. Nothing wrong with that.
CCTV just happened to be off at the
off.
Time.
He splashed water on the camera. Game over. So he died. Wife paid back the money from his estate. So this lawyer, Irvin Pickard, alongside the Securities and Exchanges Commission, have set up this pot of money, which is administered for the benefit of the investors. And as they get more in, they then just pay out more to the people who've lost their capital. It's not all plain sailing, though, because Irvin Pickard have charged them like £600 million.
I can imagine there's a fair slice of that.
Just £600 million. Hey, got to get my beak wet.
Oh my God.
I can't.
Well, I'm going to mention something that I've... So I saw an advert for a Netflix thing called 1899, and it was from the makers of Dark, which just purely reminded me, if you haven't watched Dark, watch Dark.
Mm. Yeah, I have watched Dark.
It's awesome. Watch it in German.
Yes.
With subtitles, not with the dubbed version.
Yes.
But it's one of the best shows I've watched. It's awesome.
Interesting.
I think so.
Oh, my word. Sorry. Baker and Hostler fees, who are Irvin Pickard's firm, $1.25 billion.
So they're getting paid.
Oh,
You better know it. What's it called? 18...
It's called 1899. It's
1899.
I think it's part English, part German, but it's from the same people that made Dark. Watch Dark first, because that's awesome.
Well, yeah. I've got a flight to Dubai, so I'll probably watch some box sets in the air. Mm.
We've got some games next week.
Yeah, go on.
We have got on Friday the 2nd of December. What will you be doing on Friday? Are you playing?
Is that final against Marcel Garvey's boys.
Nice. Or Andy Farrell and Jason Robinson.
Yeah, I'll smash them.
It's Friday. We've got Bath hosting Quinns.
Quinns.
Saturday. So Saturday, 3 o'clock. We've got Irish hosting Falcons.
Irish,
who are bottom of the table?
Yep, Irish. Strong Irish win.
Irish.
I think Irish. They've got to start winning because they've been... They could have beaten, if Paddy Jackson kicked his kicks, they could have beaten Leicester. Mm. They were in the arm wrestle the whole way. So yeah, give me Irish. Then at 5:30, Gloucester host Saints.
Live on BT Sport.
So is the 3 o'clock on BT?
I'm not sure, actually. I think it's a double bill rather than... There must be an England game or something like, or some big football game in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. Is it England-Wales next Saturday?
That's Tuesday.
No, that's Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah. It might be the first round of the last 16.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's 5:30 and 8 p.m. BT Sport have got...
Yeah, so 5:30 Gloucester North, Gloucester Saints, which, give me a home win.
Gloucester Saints, yeah, home win.
Well, the Saints have played some nice stuff, and Saints are currently in top four.
Yeah, they are.
And then 8 o'clock on Saturday is Bristol hosting Tigers.
Bristol hosting Tigers. Tigers.
Tigers.
Tigers just, yeah.
And then no game on Sunday. So that's it.
There you go.
That's all she wrote.
Right.
Wonderful. Well done, everyone.
Thank you for your support. I've just realised we had a bunch of emails we haven't gone through. But
God, we have some great emails.
It's a great emails. Oh, I feel bad, but...
We'll do them again next week.
We'll get to them. Nice one.
Tim.
Yes, Phil.
Sorry, I was going to ask. I love that top. I love that track top. Oh. Where? What is it? Is that a Duke?
Duke.
Ah.
Duke University.
It's very nice.
Mm, it is. I got this on Labor Day in America in a Nike store. When they're just sales, they were giving stuff away.
Like, yeah. God bless America.
Got this. God bless America indeed. right, let the boys play.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.